Good morning, and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
Good morning, and I hope it's going to be a beautiful day, and everybody's looking at me. We have so many guests, and they're going, you're hoping it's going to be a beautiful day? Well, I hope those clouds stay, and I hope they build up more. And I hope, if it rains real, I'm going to go out for a long walk. I want to go out and walk in the rain.
I won't be able to do that. I'll melt.
Oh, you will?
Mm-hmm.
You're so delicate, I
suppose. No, I'm sweet.
Oh.
Just a 200-pound bag of sugar right here.
I know why you said that, because that's what they call a segue, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That was totally on accident. I have no idea what we're talking about today.
We are going to be talking about the Honeybee Festival, which is a week from today. Starts 11 o'clock in downtown Palisade, centered around the plaza.
You're going to be doing another one of those 90-mile-an-hour drives down Patterson? Leaving here at 10:55 to get to Palisade by 11?
I have done that, haven't I, before?
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for alerting everyone to the fact that I'm going to be doing that.
Take the side streets. Nobody will know.
But you know what? We have so much to talk about today because we have experts, we have students who are getting into the whole bee world, and we have the little old winemaker. Brian, I might ask you to go over there right now for this first segment. And we have CMU students. We're so excited about the project they're doing. And Dan Bean, you know, we've had him on before. He tells us that we need to love those insects and learn more about them, because the honeybee situation, some people think that because it's now getting so much better, we don't have to worry, just because they have been aware of it for so long. But Brian, winemaker at the Meadery in Palisade, and you didn't bring us a thing.
Well, you know, the canned line is that it's too early to drink, but we don't really.
Well, it
that.
Is. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Now, you're going to have a booth down at the festival, but you are also going to do tours in which you will actually explain to people how mead is made and how did mead come about?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we like to say that mead is the only real fermented beverage that can make itself. So we think, right?
Of course, right? Yes.
So we think hollowed out tree stump, beehive, honey in a recess, rainwater and natural yeast from the air and from the environment could start spontaneous fermentation and make mead. Now, whether our ancestors found it that way or were transporting honey in a wine skin or in a water skin, mixed it with water and spontaneous fermentation that way, hard to say. But it's among one of the oldest fermented beverages.
I was going to say it's been around for a long time.
A long time, and found as an adjunct in other fermented beverages for a long time.
Mm-hmm, of course. All right. Now, and you produce, in fact, one of our guests here mentioned your strawberry mead and how much he loves it. So you have a variety of them at the Meadery.
We do.
Give us a quick overview of the varieties you have.
Okay, so we do three, we call them straight meads or show meads.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients in those are as simple as it gets, really: honey, water, and yeast.
Gotcha.
Those are our first three, and then we get into what are known as mellow mells, which are fruit and honey blends. That's what Patrick was talking about.
Okay.
And the strawberry is particularly good. It was a Governor's Cup winner for the state of Colorado a couple years in a row. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that.
Thank you.
And okay, so.
And from then on, we start to add brandy. And we fortify our last three dessert meads.
Uh-huh.
So then they get really interesting after that.
Now, will you be sampling at the Meadery?
We will. We'll be doing tours and tastings all day long from 10 to 5.
From 10 to 5. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the festival downtown is 11 to 4. But thank you. So you could get an early start, go over there and take the tour at 10.
Yep.
You know, and the tour will be going on all day. So you'll be available whenever they can get there. But you don't want to miss it. It's very interesting. And you're actually educational, so and tasteful as well.
Oh, there it is.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of recipes, and we'll post, I'll post the recipes that you sent us on 1100knzz.com, 92.7, of course. We are now on FM. Have to get that in, don't I? And we're podcast on iTunes. So I'm just throwing this all out because we want to get the word out to everybody that listens in whatever way they listen.
Right.
So, right? Exactly. So, and the regular hours of the Meadery, and how many tell us about how many days you're open.
We're open every day of week.
Okay.
Every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We're only really closed for major holidays.
Okay.
So 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night.
Okay.
All day, every day.
All right. So you want to get out there and take that tour. I highly recommend it. And then you'll have some people down at the festival to answer a lot of questions. And that's why I'm having you and Maya and Patrick and Dan Bean from the Insectary, Palisade Insectary here today, because you all have a connection to the honeybee and all bees that we're going to learn about. And yes, even wasps. A little teaser out there about that. But you, of course, have a very serious interest in the health of the bees.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll thank you guys now for doing the work that you do so that we can continue to do the work that we do.
Yes, and Dan, they're going to learn from each other today. I think we are learning from each other, but Dan is such an expert and has talked me so much, and he sent a list of things that are so interesting. I wish we could go through every one, but we're going to tease you with some of those because you need to come to the Honeybee Festival for this and the costume contest and that spelling bee and the honey that's being sold and Kendra's tent with all kinds of educational activities for children in respect to the bees and insects and the importance of them. I always say they learn without even realizing they're learning because they have such fun projects. Brian, I want to thank you for taking time out. And any last words that you want to encourage people to come out or tempt them to come out and see you guys?
Well, you know, the mead is definitely enough of a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'll thank you for having me on today.
Oh, we're delighted.
And we will be at the Honeybee Festival next Saturday. We'll have a booth down at the festival. We'll be handing out 20% off coupons for the winery.
Wonderful.
And I believe we'll be tasting down there as well.
Okay.
So come visit the meadery.
Perfect.
Come see our booth and, of course, attend Honeybee Festival in Palisade.
Yes, and more on cooking with honey as we go along. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you, Dixie.
Brian came in from Palisade to help us out today. And Dan, let's see. Dan, I'm going to let you go over to that. Oh, and guess what, guys? This is perfect timing. Here comes Rio to give me that, little fist shake that he does. Of course, I think people are imagining what that looks like now. But
yeah, you kind of made me the bad guy.
Yeah, I did. And you're really very sweet.
I am. I'll melt in the rain. We covered that.
Yes, we did. So
callback.
Stick with us. We'll be right back. You don't want to leave us because you're going to learn so much from our guests.
With all of life's big oh no's, it's good to know that at Big O Tires, you'll get a big oh yes. Right now, take $45 off a conventional oil change and 1-year alignment package. Or take $50 off a coolant and transmission fluid exchange package. And with warmer weather on the way, be sure to have your vehicle's air conditioner serviced at Big O Tires, the team you trust for great service at a great price. Find even more savings at BigOTires.com.
Do you have stuff? Lots of stuff? More stuff than you know what to do with? Wish you could sell some of that stuff and make some cash? That's what KNZZ's Humongous Yard Sale Saturday is all about. It's your chance to showcase your stuff to over 1,000 potential buyers in one day in one location. The first space is just $5, but space is limited, so get in now. It's the third annual Humongous Yard Sale Saturday, powered by Jerry's Pest Control, Saturday, May 19th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Lincoln Park Loop. Reserve your space now. Call 254-2100 or go to 1100KNZZ.com.
Are you spending one-on-one time with your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. It's great to do things as a family, but children love it when they get mom or dad all to themselves. So carve out a little time with each of your kids as often as you can. Now that summer break is almost here, try to take off one day for each child during the summer. Take them on a special outing for the day. Doesn't have to be anything big. Have lunch together, toss the football in the backyard, walk around the mall. Use the time to really focus on your child. Listen to what each one has to say. Tell them how much you enjoy being with them. Praise them for the things that make them unique. Remember, your family first.
Want to connect with Mark on Facebook? You can at facebook.com/Mark Merrill. The Family Minute with Mark Merrill, helping families love well.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve. Not on my watch, they say, as they leave their families behind to keep the rest of ours safe. As they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve, the therapists they need to walk again, the treatment they need to talk again, the lifetime of day-to-day help they need to live full and independent lives. When there's no more government funding, or a nursing home seems like the only option, or everyone says there's no hope for recovery, we won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
On the air.
News across the country.
Online.
Getting updates throughout the day.
Hey, Alexa, play KNZZ.
On your smart speaker.
News Radio 1100. KNZZ.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
I'll tell you what, this is going to be a great last three segments. This is one of those times I wish I had eight segments. So
that's every week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are here right today.
Today, though, you're right.
Pardon?
Today, you're right, though.
Today, I'm right. Yeah. Okay. We have the studio filled with very interesting and inspiring people here. You know, the Honeybee Festival is a week from today. 11 to 4 with the tours at the Meadery starting at 10 and going to 5. So plenty of time. We just had Brian, the winemaker, the mead maker from the Meadery out in Palisade. If you haven't been there, you want to stop by. And they're going to be down at the festival and during the tours. And already the CMU students are deciding who can take a break and who, you know, they're already setting up their schedule. But a new project going on at CMU, and Mr. Dan Bean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dixie.
Oh, it's a delight, and you always, you know, we always learn so much from you, and the idea is then to take what we learn and put it into practice as things that we can do as individuals, because sometimes we don't think, we think the people who keep the bees have to take care of them and get that information out, but everyone has can contribute to this, to the health of the bees and the other insects that are so important. Right, Dan?
That's right. And it's actually a pleasant thing to do, too. It's not like taking bad medicine.
Right.
Planting flowers, mm-hmm. planting plants that are food sources for honeybees and other pollinators, it's a great thing to do. Fun.
And that's it. I think that people are discovering that as well. And we're talking about pollinators today, which there are many that people don't even realize. And how important are pollinators to our food supply?
They're extremely important. The ag industry gets about $30 billion a year out of plants that are pollinated.
My.
Have to be pollinated. But I don't even like thinking about it that way because it's our food supply. And
sure.
It's really priceless in many ways.
Well, and I was reading that, you know, people always think, for instance, that peaches, because the peaches are in bloom at this, of course, and the, oh, are they gorgeous right now, and the apricots, but you have what you call dependent and independent plants, is that right?
Yeah, the ones that are dependent are the ones that have to be pollinated in order to produce the fruit.
Okay.
Or produce the end, produce what we eat. Now, the independent ones are the ones that have to be pollinated in order to produce seed.
Aha! Uh-huh. So they're all important.
they're important. And an example of an independent one would be alfalfa. If we wouldn't have alfalfa if we didn't have pollinators to help the plants produce seed.
See, look at how the information we're picking up. You go, gosh, I didn't realize that. You know, and we're always hearing people go, oh, kill that bee.
No, don't.
And are bees as aggressive and mean as some of us think?
No, they're not. And I used to keep bees quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take out a honeycomb covered with bees, and they'll just quietly sit there buzzing a little bit, no problem. They're really not that aggressive. In order to get them excited, you usually have to injure one of them. They produce a pheromone, which gets everybody riled up. But if you take good care of them, they're not particularly aggressive.
Well, is that almighty bumblebee? I have a raised planter that I have a lot of flowers in, and the bumblebees, there always seems to be one that I bond with and talk to. And I have never had any trouble with the bumblebee. And does the bumblebee help in pollinating? We think of honeybees, but what about the bumblebee?
They're extremely important. And the honeybee came from Europe. It was brought over in the 1600s,
wow.
Brought over by settlers. And before that, we had plants that needed to be pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
And bumblebees took care of a large part of that. They're like honeybees, they're social. You have colonies, not as large as honeybee colonies, maybe a few hundred as opposed to tens of thousands. But they do a major job as pollinators, particularly for native plants.
So, very good, very good. Come over, Patrick, by Maya there. Okay, so Patrick and Maya, students at CMU, tell us, why are you here today? You're probably going, yeah, why are we? No.
Well, actually, we're part of the Sustainability Council, and there are a couple ways that we're really trying to help out with supporting our pollinators here in the Valley. And one of those efforts is that we have a Sustainability Council community garden out behind WCCC.
Ah.
And we intend to have a lot of bee-friendly plants out there, and hopefully within the next year or two, we could actually have a beehive out there. To really directly help with, you know, colony collapse disorder, which is a huge problem right now. And then also we're trying to get approved to be a certified bee campus, part of
uh-huh.
Bee Campus USA,
uh-huh.
which is a fantastic organization that's really about spreading awareness and educating not only the student body, but the community in general about how important pollinators are and what people can do locally to help with them. And so that really involves creating a safe habitat for them to forage on campus.
Patrick, this sustainability team that you have, how long has that been in existence?
The Sustainability Club has been around, I'm not quite sure, quite a few years. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
It's a great club, though. There would be approximately, I think, 20 to 25 students that participate, and it's a good informational, educational club that talks about recycling and composting. Obviously, Maya mentioned the garden. There's a couple of projects. We're going to be doing a river cleanup this month.
Very good.
There's a recycling fashion show that the Sustainability Club is going to be putting on, which I think is going to be a ton
You've
of fun.
You've done this before?
Yes.
Because I think I've heard about this. When's that going to be?
That is Earth Week, the 23rd to the 26th, I think. I'll have to
Okay, okay. But
tons
we'll
of
be
fun.
Hearing about it, right?
Absolutely.
And you'll get me an announcement so I can make talk about it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of fun projects in the works. It's a great club, and Maya did a really well job of kind of talking about our goals with the garden out at WCCC. And
now, is this your first year for the garden?
For a community garden. It has been a garden for a couple of years now, but we've never opened it up to the community.
Okay.
So that's a new project, and we're really excited to get the community involved and really make it an educational experience.
So how do we get involved? Do we come out and offer to help? I mean, is there a contact number?
Yeah.
Or
there are
that?
A few different ways. The best way really is to look into the Sustainability Council page on CMU.
Okay.
Because you can email us directly, and it does give you a little bit of information of, you know, where the garden is and what kinds of things we're doing. Definitely stop by our booth at the Bee Festival.
Yes,
because
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
we
will really try to get contact info from people and really tell them, you know, what we're planning in terms of, you know, when we're going to get out there and start planning and what we're going to start
because
doing.
Because now your website, CMU's, probably easiest way is just to Google CMU website,
yes.
Right? Because does it go on and on and on? Yeah. Yes. You know, those government and those school websites are just, I mean, who could ever.
Yeah, you can just search Sustainability Council right on the CMU page.
Good.
And it'll pull you up. And Bella Vaz is someone who we work with, and it's mainly her contact info, and she is fantastic at outreaching to the community and getting people involved.
Okay, so we can find out. Have you started the garden?
I have, yeah. We actually have a few council members that are starting seedlings with us,
mm-hmm.
and we've direct sowed a few things, and it's just barely starting out right now. So it's an exciting time to get involved because it's a learning experience for everybody, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope to really help people get experience with gardening so that they can implement that into their own lives. Because a lot of people don't realize how easy it is for them to help pollinators out.
Are you looking for more members from CMU to join your committee?
Yes, we hope to get a lot of student involvement. Mm-hmm. Students that are living in the dorms and don't necessarily have access to growing delicious
sure.
organic vegetables on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And also just instilling them with the importance of pollinators in this valley. And we'd also like to outreach to the community in general and anyone who wants to help out.
They're outreaching to you, Dan Bean, from the Palisade Insectary. I'll bet you could advise and assist them in many ways.
We actually have CMU students out at the Palisade Insectary.
Wonderful.
Quite often.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, some work there over the summer.
Uh-huh.
We have a good relationship with CMU.
And that's what I think as a community or in this valley, that's what we are striving for, more and more awareness and coming from various directions. Brian over there, I'm sure, spreads awareness. Brian, I would think that you've gained knowledge about bees and what you can do, you know, as an individual to help.
Oh, absolutely. We talk to lots of beekeepers, and we give tours to quite a few folks that are interested in honey and interested in starting up hives. And
good, and like yes, and
it's
you're sure.
It's nice to have it. Sorry to interrupt.
Right. No, I was interrupting you, really. So,
and it's nice to have avenues like this to direct folks to.
Very good, because there's so many directions in which you can pick up knowledge. Wouldn't you say that, Dan?
There are. You can get it from people around in the valley. I'm from the Palisade Insectary, which is dedicated to biological pest control. And we always say that we're a bee-friendly way to control agricultural pests.
There you go. And every year, but Fred and I vow that we're going to go buy some mites from you. And people go, mites? They're awful. But you have something to help control, like the bindweed, without spraying it with all that awful insecticide.
We do. We have mites that eat bindweed, cause it to curl up and eventually die. We have several other biological pest control agents that can be used against weeds, and we have an agent that we've been releasing since 1945 mm-hmm. that feeds on a peach pest.
Oh, really?
It's a wasp, a small wasp, not a stinging wasp,
mm-hmm.
but they attack the oriental fruit moth, which is a pest of peaches. So we've been helping farmers in the upper end of the valley in the Palisade area really decrease their dependence on pesticides
and
in a honeybee friendly way.
And look at the economic impact, for instance, that the peaches make in our valley. Huge, absolutely huge. I see Rio walking in, so I'm going to let him zip over there and we're going to take a break. Do not leave. Do you see the kind of information that we're giving out today? And this is just a taste. So you can come over and really quiz all these people at the Honeybee Festival, which 1 week from today will be starting in a half an hour. However, Brian's tours at the meadery will have already started at 10 o'clock. More information, more sweet things to come.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Colorado Army National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
New thinking, new possibilities. And now your tax refund goes twice as far at the Grand Valley's newest auto dealership, Red Rock Hyundai. Experience the quality and workmanship of the 2018 Hyundai lineup with innovative technology, advanced safety features, and America's best warranty. And for a limited time, Red Rock Hyundai will double your tax refund as a down payment towards the purchase of your new Hyundai. Drive what's new. Hurry into the all-new Red Rock Hyundai at 2162 Highway 6 and 50 between Grand Junction and Fruita.
Need a reason to choose Montrose Auto Body over someone else? They truly value customer service and your satisfaction. It's like bringing your car to a friend. They place great importance on earning your trust throughout the collision repair process. Montrose Auto Body, 249-5151. Online at montroseautobody.com.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Chance of showers and thunderstorms for Saturday, Grand Junction, Delta, and Montrose, 69. Continued chance of storms Saturday night, 42. Mostly sunny, 62 on Sunday. Sunny at 63 Monday.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Dead and injured in Munster, Germany, where a vehicle plowed into an outdoor pub in that city's historic district.
Police have confirmed that there has been a vehicle has driven into the crowd and that the driver of that vehicle has killed himself. So we know that several have died. Unconfirmed reports of many more injured on top of that.
Katerina Vitozzi of Sky News. Latest reports say three are dead, more than 20 injured. President Trump taking on sanctuary cities in his weekly address while calling on all communities to take a stand against them.
My message to communities under siege from drugs and gangs and violence is you can stop this and you can stop it cold. Partner with the federal government so we can help to remove these threats from your communities and restore peace to our streets.
Fox News, we report, you decide.
News Radio 1100 KNZZ is now on FM at 92.7 in Grand Junction, 97.1 in Delta, and 93.5 in Montrose.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
And here I am on this Saturday that we're all doing a little rain dance, hoping that we get some rain. That little bit that was on the top of the mailbox stand outside this morning, it was just kind of damp, and I put my hand down on the soil around it, of course totally dry, really hard. And so I know that all my guests in the studio today, we're all keeping our fingers crossed and praying for rain, because we certainly do need it. And what a wonderful thing. So yeah, get out there today if it is raining and enjoy it. Back to our subject, the Honeybee Festival brings bees to mind, and brings different things to different people when you hear the word bees. But also, we were talking about, we always think of the bee, you know, and you'll see a lot of these yellow and black bees, two-legged ones, darling, at the bee costume contest. But Dan, I'm thinking, you're thinking, well, yes, the bee costume contest, you know, and the spelling bee and all those things, but there are darling bees, right? And different colors.
There are. There are actually six-legged darling bees as well as two-legged ones.
Yes.
I think people are familiar with bumblebees,
mm-hmm,
as well as honeybees, but there are many other bee species that are solitary. They don't necessarily build a big hive. They don't have a lot of colony members. They just have one single individual, the mother, that goes out and forages and raises up a crop of brood.
Mm-hmm.
And she performs some of the same functions that the social bees perform. She carries around pollen with her, goes from flower to flower, so is a pollinator.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these other species of bees are actually very important in agriculture, as well as the honeybee, the semi-domesticated bee. We have all of these wild bees. There's one called the blue orchard bee, which is sort of metallic blue or green in color.
Wow.
And is very important in pollinating fruit crops.
It's very interesting, and we certainly have a lot of fruit crops around here. You're listening to Dan Bean. Your position at the Palisade Insectary?
I'm director of the Palisade Insectary,
mm-hmm.
and we're biological pest control, and we're located in Palisade. We've been there since 1945.
It's a long time, time.
Yeah, I haven't been there that long, but.
No, we weren't. We weren't insinuating that you've been there. It's just like I wasn't at the very first peach celebration, for instance, back in the 1800s. So we have Dan, we have Brian, who is I like to call him the little old winemaker, but he's quite a handsome guy, by the way. But I always like to put those things out for our, our listeners. Those gals out there know me, don't you? So in addition to, putting a lot of good recipes on 1100 KNZZ, I like to talk to, people about all kinds of things. And certainly it affects us and those recipes, too, that we're talking about. We have Maya and we have Patrick here from CMU, the Sustainability Club that they have. And they're getting so involved in, they're having a community garden and they're going to, Patrick, aren't you going to start have you started your beehive or you're getting ready to do one?
We are in the process of becoming a bee-friendly campus.
That's good.
Okay. So it's in the works, mm-hmm. and it's a really, really exciting opportunity for Colorado Mesa University.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just getting our garden going. We've started some seedlings, and got the seedlings going. We are extending our garden with bee-friendly plants and vegetables, and looking forward to educating the students and the community about our work.
You had a question for Dan when we are on break, so why don't you go ahead and ask him?
Sure, Dan. I was curious. So my own experience with my hives, I've had a little bit of issue with varroa mites. I was wondering what you are doing about the varroa mite problem and how to help the bees.
And what's a varroa mite?
It's a mite that was introduced into North America about 25 years ago and has really spread through a lot of the colonies. It's like a tick on a bee. It sucks out their hemolymph, which is an entomological term for blood, and really weakens individuals. It can they can attack adult bees, but they can also even get into the brood and suck the hemolymph out of the larval stages and the pupal stages. So they cause an overall weakening of the hive, and you can imagine the distress that bees have when they have these things sticking on them and sucking out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like us having insects that do that.
It would be like having a tick the size of a large poodle.
Now that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Wow, that's pretty frightening. Well, is there anything that can be done? Or is there anything that we as individuals can do?
We don't have anything at the insectary that can go up against the varroa mite.
Mm-hmm.
Their scientific name is Varroa destructor, and
that's
a pretty good name for them.
Yeah.
We don't have anything. There are some treatments, ways you can treat your hives against them. The problem is they're arthropods, and so are bees. So whenever mm-hmm. you do anything to kill off an arthropod, you run the risk of hurting your hive too. But there are some treatments. I can't give you any right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can come to the Honeybee Festival.
There, exactly. So now you know that he has some advice and tell you how you can help combat that problem. Part of also is as an individual, we need to be aware of what bee-friendly plants are and flowers. And have you guys picked up on some of that, Maya and Patrick?
Our plan for the garden is including a lot of herbs and flowers, and
herbs.
That's one of the things that you can stop by our booth to find out. We hope to educate people on some beautiful things that you can plant in your backyard that will really support various pollinators, not just bees.
And that's important. Dan, what about does it make a difference what color the, your, for instance, your flowers are?
Each flower has a pollinator in mind, as it were.
For the structure
of the flower. Some of the brightly colored flowers are specifically attracting bees,
mm-hmm.
and bees see in the ultraviolet range. So oftentimes the reflections off the flowers that a bee sees are different than what we see.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I believe they're attracted to a lot of blue flowers and yellow flowers.
Okay.
You can picture, you know, sunflowers and stuff like that, or lavender purple flowers as well. So
lavender, blue, mm-hmm. they're close, and yellow. You can. I bet you they're going to have a lot of people going out now in search of yellow and blue and lavender. And the lavender, good plant, right, for the bees?
Bees like lavender. When our kids were a little younger, they would go out and stand by our lavender patch and watch the bees come in.
Ah.
And there were a lot of different bumblebee species that visited lavender, and they referred to those as lavender bees. Not because they were lavender color, but just because
they
were
like
attracted to that particular plant.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of plants that we might consider useful. A lot of herbs are also attractive to
bees. Yes, they are. Yes, I'm thinking about those.
Yeah, that's one thing we want to implement in our community garden, have some wonderful herbs like rosemary and thyme and mint and things like that mm-hmm. people can, you know, take home after the bees have fed on them. And I know that some things people don't necessarily think about, like clover and alfalfa are also really good for
bees.
There
you go. Right. How about some other vegetables?
Oh, squash.
Mm. Those big flowers. Mm-hmm. Those big yellow. Yes.
Some tomato plants have some bees.
Yes. Uh-huh. Tomato plants. Are you growing tomato seedlings?
Lots of tomatoes. Yeah, we have some seedlings going.
What kind?
Oh, Roma. We've got some beefsteak tomatoes. Mm. We have cherry tomatoes. All kinds of fun things. Yeah. We're going for a lot of variety in our garden.
I am involved in tomato wars.
Yes, so I've heard all about that, Dixie.
And any clue or hint you can give me that I can use against Fred, my husband, will be so welcomed.
Well, maybe you can come by and grab some of our compost.
Uh-huh.
The Sustainability Council has a fantastic compost.
Wonderful.
Program. Yeah, we divert a lot of food waste from stores all over and coffee grounds from campus and things like that. And it's really nutritious, and we're using it for our vegetables. So maybe you can grab some of that, and your tomatoes might do well.
I like it. In fact, we're going to talk just a little bit about that. Do you know we're heading into our last segment, you guys. This is
going by
sad, but I want you to know, too, on 1100knzz.com, I'm going to put a bunch of honey recipes this week, because you have to learn that honey is, well, we know, we've learned, you know, honey makes good wine. Honey is good in so many things, and a lot of people think honey is just to sweeten coffee and tea, but there's so much more to it. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Are you wondering how you'll ever get out of the renting rut? Hi, I'm Ashley Taylor with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. If homeownership seems like a someday dream because of all the obstacles and hoops you have to jump through, I want to help you. My passion is to find ways to make it happen, to guide you through the process, and show you how you can qualify for the home that you're dreaming of. Let's get started today.
Fairway Independent Mortgage. Get your mortgage now.
Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender, NMLS 747931. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify.
The weekend's coming. Do your plans include dining out? You know, for thousands of kids in the Grand Valley, the question isn't where or when, but if they're going to eat. Many kids are on District 51's breakfast and lunch program. But what about the weekends? We can make a difference through Kids Aid. Just $5 feeds a child for a weekend, $20 for a month, $200 feeds a kid for the entire school year. To find out how you can help, go to KidsAidColorado.org. The Backpack Program from Kids Aid. Only hungry to learn.
It was a goal that I wanted to achieve from the very beginning.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. I wasn't sure if I could do it. It was very hard for me, but the teachers, the counselors, they help you. One of the teachers was Ms. Araceli. Ms. Araceli, she gave me direction. Every single time I had a question, she'll put down whatever she's doing and she'll come over and she'll sit there with you until you get it.
At age 47, with the help of his teacher, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work. Getting your high school diploma, it is a life-changing experience. It really is. It catapults you to where you want to go.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Obstructive sleep apnea may sound like snoring, but it can also sound like a car crash. Those suffering from sleep apnea are 7 times more likely to be involved in or cause a fatal car accident. 20 times more likely to suffer from high blood pressure. 8 times more likely to suffer a stroke. And 10 times more likely to suffer a heart attack in their sleep. While it may only sound like snoring, sleep apnea is a serious and even life-threatening condition. But it can be successfully treated. Consult with an oral and facial surgeon as part of a sleep medicine team to find out if your snoring is more than just snoring. Oral and facial surgeons are the experts in face, mouth, and jaw surgery. Learn more about obstructive sleep apnea at myoms.org.
Every day is a new day.
Brand new.
I wake up.
I turn on the radio.
Depend on us for local news updates all day. News Radio 1100, KNZZ.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
And back with my special guest, Dan Bean, director of the Palisadian Sectory. We have Brian Stevens from the meadery. He makes the mead out there. We have Patrick and Maya from CMU. So many exciting and interesting things and knowledge that we've picking up here. Just a sample. I have to tell you this. Oh, speaking of samples, of course, Brian's going to be sampling the meat out at the meadery. Oh, you know how punny I can be. Oh, there's one. But we're learning so much about the CMU students and their community involvement in their garden and bee-friendly campus. And they have a bee-friendly garden on campus as well. And Dan Bean, you are a wealth of information. And everyone here is passionate. In fact, I signed up today, pollinators.org, because you suggested it. So I'm all signed up. I'm subscribing. So I figure I'll pick up a lot there as well. But there are a lot of sources out there to learn more about it. And you are a source, Dan.
I go to those same websites. That's where I get a lot of my information. Pollinators.org is one of them. There are a number of other sources around around the valley, and I think CMU is rapidly becoming one of those.
Which is terrific, which just shows a real community effort.
And Tamarisk Coalition did a project on Watson Island where they planted native plants that were bee-friendly.
So you said, people want to be able to pick up lists of bee-friendly plants and flowers. Well, flowers are plants, of course, gardening. Is this possible? Or should you go to these sites and can they pick up something? I'm putting you on the spot. You know that.
Well,
can they pick up something at the festival?
Yeah, you can definitely do research on your own. But if you stop by the Sustainability Council booth, that is pretty much all we're going to be doing is educating. Lots of lists on, you know, safe.
Lists take in your hand.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Flyers of you know, awesome plants that you can plant. Plants you might want to avoid.
Sure.
Practices that you can implement in your garden that are safe for bees and things like that.
And we also have to consider the fact, Dan, right, that we are in a, sometimes we're called semi-desert/desert area, and a high desert, that's for sure. So we also have to consider about plants that take a ton of water versus, right now we're all pretty worried about our water situation because of the lack of moisture, which we don't get a ton anyway. So do you factor that in as well? And does that have anything to do with the kind of insects that we have here?
Well, we have our own assemblage of pollinators here, native pollinators that are adapted to high desert plants.
And good.
A lot of a lot of the solitary bees that we have here, and bumblebees and wasps, they're adapted to the high desert plants that are native to the area. Okay. So one suggestion, once you finish planting all of your herbs and you have a really nice herb garden, mm-hmm. going, then go for some of the native plants of the area.
And those such are, as?
Like rabbit brush.
Oh, yes, yeah, sagebrush. And uh-huh. then one thing that we have in our pollinator-friendly garden on campus is a lot of yucca. Because yucca moths actually pollinate those. And it's a really special relationship that is very specific for different species of yucca. So that's something that we should really support, because we have it. It's all over out here.
And it grows like crazy.
It does, yeah. And people don't look at it as something that even needs pollination, because it doesn't necessarily have huge, beautiful flowers all over it. It's kind of this spiky, weird desert plant, you know.
So they're not so yucca, huh, Dan?
Not at all. Yeah, they do, and they do produce a large spike of flowers, you know, not that frequently, but when they do, they're really showy.
Hearing Patrick and Maya from CMU, what does that do for you, Dan, when you are, you know, learning about what all the things that Maya and Patrick and their committee is involved in?
They're doing great work. We have to go that direction. We have to get young people involved. And I was just going to put in a pitch for people even younger than they are, mm-hmm. to say that I think at the elementary, middle school,
amen.
High school level, we need to get people out and involved. I know I have children who really soak it up like a sponge. If you take them outside and you get them involved in planting and looking at the natural world, they'll carry that with them for the rest of their lives.
So. Yes, and what you're saying is the younger the better.
Yes, definitely.
Right, raise them, you know, raise your children. Oh, you could be, you don't raise bees though, you keep bees. I've been told that, yes. I've learned that, because I almost got slapped on the hands for saying that one time. But yes, the earlier the better, and I could see you CMU students like, going and teaching classes or spreading the awareness in the schools. I don't know if you can do that or not.
No, that's one thing that we're actually hoping to do. We want to get involved and get connected with the high schools, and they have some sustainability clubs of their own. So we want to educate them on gardening practices and bring them out to the garden and really teach them about bees and pollinators in general.
And hopefully the goal is that eventually, by the time they get to high school, they know a lot about them already, and then to college, and that's going to go. So the high school students could help with the middle school students. The middle school students and
trickle down.
Yeah, there you go. The trickle down effect, right?
We really want to spread a lot of awareness in the community in general about pollinators and what you can do locally to help them.
And Dan, what hours are you open? Can the public just stop by?
It's good to give us a call first, and you can find us online, Colorado Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a call, and you can stop by and visit. The reason that we can't be open all the time is we have a lot of field work
of course.
Century. We produce a lot of biocontrol agents for weeds all around Colorado. So we're not just in the valley, we're across the state.
Oh.
And we had a tour, speaking of young people, we had a tour a couple days ago, 75 students from Orchard Mesa Elementary School. We had 75 second graders came to the Palisade Insectary.
That's encouraging. That makes me feel good to know that they're getting out and doing those kinds of things. When you talk about a field trip, that's a field trip, isn't it?
It is. It was a trip.
Okay, so if there are teachers listening that would like to bring their class out, of course they would contact you and see if they could set something up. And how about over the summer? Because there are a lot of summer programs for children. Do you do tours as well?
We do if we have enough lead time.
Okay.
Summer is a busy time for us.
I would think so.
We go out all over the place.
Right.
We go to all corners of the state.
So once again, the Honeybee Festival, a week from today. This is kind of to whet your appetite to come out. I mean, you know, and of course, it's beautiful this time of the year. The peaches are, oh, my goodness, if you haven't been through the orchards, they are really beautiful. And so you want to take the long way over to the Palisade Honeybee Festival. But Maya and Patrick from CMU, Brian from the Meadery, it's very educational. You're going to be taking tours. And you get to talk to him at the festival and, of course, at the meadery where you'll be taking tours. Dan, you will be there and have, I'm sure, some helpers there so you can be answering all these questions and find out about those bindweed mites in addition to all of the others. And let's all be, you know, make ourselves aware so we can do our part because, hey, we all love to get out there in the garden anyway and plant, and so why not do things that will encourage the bees? And remember, bees and many other insects are our friends. They most certainly are. And you'll learn more about that and some cooking with honey, which is very delicious. So I will see you out there. I'll be giving the chefs a bad time and visiting our guests. Thanks again to our guests. Have a great weekend. And I always say, get out and take a walk.
If you've got a problem with your transmission and you don't know where to take it, with 30 years experience, Baker's Transmission can handle any of your transmission problems and needs. Hi, this is Mark from Baker's Transmission. I want to know that if I run into you at the grocery store or at the mall, I can come up to you and shake your hand and ask you how your transmission's working and make sure that we've done everything we could. Baker's Transmission, we are the transmission specialists. We're right off the I-70 Business Loop, east of Freeway Bowl. Give us a call, 245-6640.